Before we get started with tonight's podcast, we got to give a shout out to our friends at Tavor.
Yeah, join Tavor for free and learn about the latest craft beer trends. Read humorous beer factoids that can be repurposed at parties to put standard beer nerds to shame.
And best of all, gain daily access to delicious, fresh craft beer you can't find anywhere else. Then have it delivered right to your doorstep. Visit Tavor.com today. Enter your email address and let the exciting world of craft beer into your life.
In fact, you can even get it a little bit cheaper by entering a special promo code WRONGSIDE10. It'll get you $10 off your first purchase of $25 or more.
Just check it out, Tavor.com, Tavor.com. Welcome in, wrong side of the pond. He is DJ Schweitzer.
Hi.
I'm Jeremy Lance. Hi, how you doing?
I'm well.
You got a big day tomorrow?
No, nothing's going on.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty low-key Tuesday.
There was like giant orange signage lettering out in the park today.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I might know something about that. I think there was also giant orange and blue lettering on the side of the convention center.
Yeah.
I know something about that.
Okay.
Yeah. You've seen an increase in magnets or stickers or
just the ones on my fridge.
Okay. But any of those things, I might know something about that.
Okay.
Well. Yeah. In fact, I do actually have a lot going on tomorrow. Now that you say something about it, that reminds me. It's a busy day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Don.
Yeah. The Don.
To town.
Not my dad. Not my, dad's also Don.
Yeah.
I suppose we're not talking about me either.
Since no.
That's technically my name too. No,
black cat's out of the bag.
Yeah. I am not coming to Cincinnati tomorrow. No, I am. I will be a part of the strong contingent of people here in Cincinnati that'll be welcoming Don Garber to Cincinnati. I know about all these things you're talking about because I might have actually designed a majority of them. And yeah, it's a really big event with the MLS commissioner coming to Cincinnati and seeing what the city is all about, seeing what our supporters are all about, what our stadium's all about, really what's going on and what's been going on here in Cincinnati for the last few months. And it's all coming to a head tomorrow.
Are you, is this night before? Are you excited, nervous, just want to get it over with? Just want to, what are you feeling?
I hesitate to say nervous because I don't know that that's right.
Anxious,
I think. It's been a lot of planning. Obviously, we've been known and have been working on this for months now. It literally has been my primary focus for nearly the last month. Lots of different things have gone into it. We, you know, of course, expecting Taylor Twellman in to MC the town hall event, which will be at 4 o'clock. Likely by the time you're listening to this, that's already happened. So we won't be talking about that tonight. Maybe on next podcast, we can clue you in a little bit as to what happened there. But no, it's definitely kind of a weird feeling. I'm ready for this all to come to fruition. After all this planning and hard work, you really want to see the fruits of your labor eventually. And, tomorrow I think we're going to put on a nice little show.
Sounds fun.
Yeah. Hopefully it will be.
It was an interesting, did you have a good Thanksgiving?
I did have a good Thanksgiving. Did, you know, the whole regular meal thing.
Meal,
you know,
what does that mean?
A traditional Thanksgiving meal, you know?
Yeah, turducken?
Yeah, that's exactly what we had.
Yeah.
I definitely tryptophaned out a little bit, took a nice little nap. Can't complain too much about that. Drank some beer.
Mm.
Had some delicious pie.
You a big pie guy?
I like pie.
What are you?
I prefer pie to cake. If we're making that comparison, I don't know if that's sacrilegious.
I mean, I'm not going to cross the street for either, but what are you, when it comes to pie, what's your pie of choice?
Apple pie, for sure.
Okay.
For sure. Apple pie by a country mile.
So you had apple pie?
I had apple pie and pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin pie is disgusting.
Shut your face.
It's like an orange sludge that comes out of a can, and then you bake it into a pie?
Well, one, it doesn't have to come out of the can, Jeremy.
What, does it come out of like a tube?
It can. It can come out of all sorts of receptacles. Two, it's delicious. How? ignore what it looks like.
Give me pecan pie or give me nothing.
You could give me pecan pie and it would give me death.
I can't diabetic death.
I can't have
sugar.
My tree nut allergy would murder me there. I've heard pecan pies are delicious, though.
It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah. It also has some weird sludge under it as well, though.
Yeah, but it's like just straight sugar.
It's covered.
It's just straight sugar.
It's covered by those nuts, and we know how nuts dress things up a little bit.
So. Yeah, they do a great job.
How was your Thanksgiving?
It was fine.
Mm-hmm. Did you do a regular meal as well?
Kind of.
Mm-hmm.
We hung out with my wife's side of the family.
Yeah.
They
do things differently.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I don't think they listen to this podcast.
Should we leave
it? Turkey was a little cold.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, we'll leave it there. We'll leave that there. So we both did Thanksgiving.
I mean, my mother-in-law got food poisoning from it, so I guess...
Oh, well, that's
I guess it's
great.
No secret that the meal could have gone better.
Okay, fair point. So yours was a disaster. Mine was normal. Hopefully all of you had...
I was dead that day also.
Okay.
I was out with all my friends.
Oh, yes.
I was one of those idiots that hung out with, like, your friends from high school
that
Wednesday.
Yeah. Everyone's back in town.
Except these are, like, my actual friends, not, like, I wasn't, like, one of those weirdos that go to, like, the bar hoping that, like, the chick,
the chick he
was lusting after in high school is going to be at the bar, and it's going to go great.
My ex-girlfriend, who also listens to this podcast, I'm sure was one of those, right?
Possibly.
Yeah. Okay.
And I got in real late, and then I had to run a 5K in the morning.
Oh, boy.
So by the time I got to said Thanksgiving meal, I was pretty much done with my Thursday.
Turkey trots. What are your opinions on turkey trots, then, now that they're fresh in your mind?
Don't go out with friends beforehand.
Yeah, okay. That's a fair
It'll
point.
It'll go a lot better.
I do feel
you
like...
You won't die of acid reflux.
I woke up, like most of America, I didn't have work that day. And I wanted to, like, get up like I normally do on days where I don't have work, and I watch soccer. And I was really annoyed that there wasn't any, like, soccer on until, like, 11 a.m.
That did kind of bum me out.
Yeah. So
it felt like a Saturday.
Normally, I wouldn't be for running in the morning, period. But the idea of going to a turkey trot on a day where there's no soccer and there's really nothing to do in the mornings, outside of maybe the Macy's Day Parade, which I suppose my children would like. But, yeah, that doesn't sound that bad of an idea. But not after you've done a heavy amount of drinking the night before.
Yeah, I was just trying to hang on to the earth while it was spinning.
Oh, excellent. Best way to run.
It's how all the champs do it.
Not advisable.
Let's talk about the beer that we got.
Yeah, that's right. Our good friends from Tavor prepared for us another delectable selection. This one coming from Aleworks Brewing Company. Their Bourbon Barrel Porter. Which is porter aged in oak bourbon barrels, in case that was something that you
Yeah, if that was lost in the title.
Yeah, but quite delicious, a bit thick, heavy.
Super rich.
Yeah, really, really rich.
Very good sweetness. You're getting that vanilla note that you would get in a bourbon that's been aged for a while.
But they come to us from Williamsburg, Virginia. So thanks, Aleworks. Thanks, Tavor, for providing that to us. If you haven't checked out Tavor, they've got some beers for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Use the promo code.
That's right. Wrongside10. Help us out. So, that said, let's get into some football now that we've talked nothing really about football for a majority of this intro. And start, as we always do, with our favorite, the update on what's going on with our fantasy teams. What do you think you did?
I know Negredo had a goal.
Yeah.
So I've at least got one goal to the good.
Some points. Some points there just
That's
for you.
That's the only point I can... tell that I probably scored.
Well, I don't know if Negredo helped you out that much because you fell 13 places to 66th place. I improved 8 places to 88th, so we're narrowing that gap quickly this season.
I saw you did my strategy of forgetting to change your lineup.
Yeah, I definitely did.
Yeah. See?
Worked out.
Yeah,
worked out. For the third week in a row now, James Thomas's Genius FC is still sitting at the top. Though Jay Slack, our friend Jay Slack, fantasy master.
Is he prowling?
He's prowling. He's now back up into second place, I think like 20 points behind James. So he's coming for you, James. I'm sure you're worried about that immensely at the moment. There is your fantasy update, which allows us to jump into real football world and the Premier League action that was.
And we have to start with a match that we actually watched together. It was not empty threats.
No.
What you said last week about, hey, we should get together and watch it. You actually invited me over.
Yeah, you called me out and were like, hey, we never do it. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to invite him over. And I'm going to say, bring some of your kids. So you don't really have an out.
Yeah.
And in fact, it provided an out for you to actually get out of the house.
Our daughters got to hang out.
Yeah. They, enjoyed the experience.
Well, they're still at that age where they don't play together as much, play by themselves in the same room.
Yeah, near each other.
Like, they in the same vicinity of one another.
You'll occasionally interact and show one of the other ones, yeah. Like, hey, look what I have right now.
But everyone's still kind of out for themselves.
Yeah, but it was good. Good to get the kids together. We got to watch some football, at least a little bit in between fits of separating children and
telling people to share. I had to do a radio interview.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, our good friend Ken Brew brought you on to talk about all the happenings here in Cincinnati, Klinsmann stuff, all that kind of fun stuff. But we did get to watch
the
game.
Never got to the Klinsmann talk, actually.
Oh, good for you.
Got bumped.
Yeah. It happens to the best of us. But let's talk about this game that we actually watched together, the Wrong Side of the Pond Derby, Chelsea versus Spurs. Big hyped game. A lot of it was the talk about, is this the year that Spurs are finally going to win at Stamford Bridge? No.
Hey, they scored first, though. And they're the first one to get a goal off of Chelsea since they've turned into the new and improved 3-4-3 Chelsea.
Yeah, that's right. I think it was like six matches or something like that without conceding. So, and Spurs looked to have figured Chelsea out in the first half as well.
You guys were bossing that game.
Mm-hmm. Eriksen's goal, just quickly to be said, was absolutely fantastic. Kind of curled away from the outside Courtois' hand and really just kind of was the goal that Spurs deserved at that point. They really had outplayed Chelsea for a majority of the match. It seemed like that back three was completely outdone by a side that Pochettino had laid out smartly.
But right before halftime, Pedro, who is apparently Willian, is just not our guy anymore. And Chelsea player of the year last year.
Mm-hmm.
Can't even get a starting spot at the moment.
Great.
But Pedro scores right in front of the box.
Yeah.
Nice goal.
Had a nice little turn, kind of looped it back post, curled it out past Lloris, who actually looked like he had a good chunk of the goal covered. So well-played shot. I will say that Spurs were real slow to close on him, gave him lots of time to pick out his spot, and it went pretty well for him.
And that momentum was huge. It proved to be huge as Chelsea came out in that second half with their hair on fire. Playing really well.
Well, it's like the worst time to give up a goal. Like, you know the tides are turned when people come out after that.
Well, and it changes the whole dynamic of that halftime.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, up, if that goal doesn't happen, the Tottenham team speech is, hey, keep doing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Keep closing guys down. You know, we got them on their back foot right now. Keep pressing.
Yep. And it worked.
And Chelsea, it would have been panic. It would have been like, oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
We got to find a goal, boys.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Spurs didn't keep that up in any capacity.
No.
And in fact, Chelsea turned the tables on them. And it was as good as Tottenham looked in the first half. Chelsea looked every bit as good in the second. You guys pretty much ran riots. It, kind of surprising that the game only finished 2-1. Victor Moses getting the ping-ponged in, or
he was handed a goal.
Pinballed in.
That he nearly screwed up.
Yeah, Spurs left him completely wide open on the backside. He had time to take ample touches. Somehow hit it directly at one of Spurs' defenders.
Yeah, I think it went off of Vertonghen.
Yeah, it was Vertonghen's
shoulder or whatever.
Yeah, and it kind of went in. So while he did almost screw the pooch, he didn't ultimately screw it, at least from a Chelsea perspective, and that was ultimately the goal that proved to be the winner. Willian did make an appearance, by the way, despite Pedro having supplanted him in the starting 11. Always a little salt in Spurs' wounds whenever he steps on the field against us. Just kind of to rub it in a little bit, like, you can never have this. Kind of my brother Bilo.
They were talking. They were chatting
mm-hmm.
each other there. Conte and Pochettino were chatting.
Yeah, what was with that? It was so like 20 minutes left in the second half.
I saw a Daily Mail had a report that Pochettino was trying to get Conte to calm down his staff. Because his staff got, I guess, there was a tackle on Willian that they got all up in arms about. And Pochettino was trying to smooth things over / tell Conte, like, hey, go calm your guys down.
Yeah.
Sort yourself out.
Yeah. So, yeah, it seemed like it was something that was going to be really dramatic. It proved not to be all that exciting.
No, it's kind of lame. 7 wins for Chelsea. Mm-hmm. 1 goal conceded.
Doing pretty well at the moment.
Yep.
I don't feel this bad about this loss. I mean, I don't feel good about it. But at the same time, the form team in the league, Spurs are certainly not in a good run of form considering they were just knocked out of the Champions League in the midweek as well. Having some injury issues still suffering. Danny Rose was out as well through suspension. Things just aren't clicking the way they should be for Spurs, despite actually not looking that bad a majority of the time. They have, you know, they're not so bad where you're like all is lost. But at the same time, it is disappointing. You want to get those points against some of the top level competition that you're supposedly competing with. And if they hadn't actually lost that match, they might still be undefeated. And they might still be in what we might consider a title hunt at this point.
Are you calling them out already? You're saying that it's over?
No, I'm not saying that it's over.
Their title hope? I mean, are you going Ashley Cole? Because he...
No.
I mean, he said that their title hopes were over. Some Twitter guy, he was chirping on Twitter about it. And some guy was like, oh, I thought you were dead. And he was like, yeah. Just like Tottenham's title chances.
Oh, geez. Well, thanks for the dig there, Ashley Cole.
Well, he's a stand-up guy. So,
yeah, he certainly is. I don't think it's over, but these are the points that matter ultimately when the titles are won and the places are sealed up at the end of the season. You lose points against people that you're competing for those against, and ultimately those are ones that directly impact you. But you're probably feeling better than I am about it.
Just slightly.
Yeah.
Moving on to the three other teams vying for said title that, according to you, Tottenham may or may not still be doing.
No.
Liverpool, Arsenal, City, all of them keep pace and don't lose any ground on Chelsea. Liverpool, 2-0 win over Sunderland. They had to work for this one, though.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see where Klopp was? Yeah, because I think things weren't going well for a while. And it kind of took Liverpool some time to get going and get that first goal. And did you see where Klopp was trying to – the fans were kind of getting restless, and he was like yelling at him, like, no, we're not having crappy atmosphere. Pump us up. Keep these guys going.
I mean, he's such a likable guy. If Jurgen Klopp asked you to do that, even if you were having a miserable time, don't you think you'd probably do it?
I guess you would.
Probably the biggest, you know, ultimately Liverpool get to Origi, gets the opener. But the biggest downfall in this match for Liverpool is ultimately that they're going to lose Coutinho for an extended period of time. He had a looked to be probably a broken ankle or foot.
That's
really,
not good.
Really bad kind of outstretch. He was looking to kick the ball and just directly connected with the ball right as the defender was clearing it. And his foot just snapped back. Looked really bad, and it sounds like he's going to miss at least 6, 7, maybe 8 games through that type of injury. So huge blow to Liverpool and a guy who's been absolutely crucial in their attack this season.
City got by Burnley 2-1. Burnley actually had the lead.
Yeah, they did. They opened the scoring pretty early on, if I remember correctly as well. Aguero got the ultimate, I can't remember if it was the go-ahead goal or the ultimate equalizer, but it might have been one of the ugliest goals that I've ever seen. It was like they took a shot and it fell out and Burnley tried to clear it and they failed to clear it. And as they were trying to clear it, one of the Burnley defenders kicked one of his own teammates, and they both fell down, and the ball fell right over to
real comedy of errors.
I think it was Sané, and Sané tried to take a shot and mishit it, and then it fell to someone, and they ended up knocking it across, and it went in off Aguero's knee or shin. Like, it was one of the ugliest goals that I think anyone could have possibly scored, but of course Aguero was in the right place at the right time to tuck it away.
Yeah, so City avoid embarrassment.
Mm-hmm.
And then Arsenal get the 3-1 win, hosting Bournemouth. Our fellow guest on the show, a former guest on the show, Rambo Gooner, he was actually at this.
Yeah, that's right.
Over there with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
He picked a good one.
Yeah, did go for that. Arsenal gifted a lead pretty early on. Burnley with a horrible getaway in the back. Literally gifting Alexis Sanchez a goal. Didn't really seem like that hard of a job for Arsenal. Bournemouth didn't put up that much of a challenge. Of course, Jack Wilshere not allowed to play for Bournemouth as he's on loan, not having to face his old club. And you could tell that he was a bit missing in the side, too.
Callum Wilson scores the pen.
Mm-hmm.
To put Bournemouth on the board and to make it 1-1 for a little bit there.
Yep.
They had life.
They did have life. Never really looked in this game.
They had to bring Jordan Ibe off the bench, mm-hmm. who apparently he got mugged recently.
Yeah, coming home from the game.
Fresh from getting mugged.
Yeah, always the best time to come in. But Arsenal keeping pace at the top of the league. So those three sides definitely within the hunt still. Spurs kind of the outsiders looking in at this moment, and Chelsea leading the pack as we look ahead into the EPL season ahead. But let's quickly snap around the league because there were some other results that were of note, and probably the one that everyone is thinking about potentially the game of the season. I don't know if that we can call it that quite yet, but Swansea 5, Crystal Palace
America
4.
America 5.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I saw after the game a lot of GIFs of people saying like, "Oh, this is what Swansea are considering changing their logo to," and it was like an American eagle, like crying. Like, obviously, big deal for American manager Bob Bradley getting his first
win.
Make
Swansea great again.
He's done it. Get him the hats. Maybe he can charge $123 for Christmas ornaments that are lined in 24-karat gold with Swansea's logo on them, just like someone else that would do something like that. Anyway, but Bob Bradley getting that first win. It was six matches before he actually got the first win in the Premier League.
And they had a comfortable lead at one point in time in this match. This was a 3-1 match.
To Palace.
To Palace, who had been just throwing matches away left and right.
Yeah. They're
struggling.
They're now winless in nine.
I believe Pardew is meeting either today or Tuesday when you listen to this with the upper management, if you will, at Palace. So our old friend, Cincinnati's favorite English manager, maybe on the outs, maybe looking for a gig.
We'll have to wait and see on that front. But if you were going to have a first win in the Premier League, do they get much more memorable than a 5-4 defenseless shootout? I'm not sure they really do.
I mean, they scored essentially two goals in stoppage time.
Yeah. Sigurdsson did have a beauty of a curler opener for, I think it was a free kick for Swansea. But the rest of the goals in this game were absolutely atrocious. They were all like just bad,
it was all just,
ugly
it was
goals.
Just calamity in the box.
Mm-hmm.
Just nobody defended anybody. And even the guys that are trying to score the goal just flailing their legs aimlessly at the ball.
Yeah, I think I went to get cleaned up for take a shower.
For my arrival?
Before your arrival, it was like 3-1 when I went to take a shower. And my wife was like, "Hey, what was the score when you went in?" I was like, "Oh, I think it was 3-1. She goes, "Yeah, it ended up finishing 5-4. I'm like, "Oh, great. I'm going to have to watch that back then."
Other matches, Leicester, Middlesbrough, 2-2 draw. Leicester continues. I mean, hey, into the knockout round.
Yeah.
Champions League. They got that group.
This is incredible. Could you imagine? I feel like this is what we were doing last year. Could you imagine if Leicester would win the Premier League, what would that be like? No, this year it is. Could you imagine if Leicester win the Champions League and are relegated to the Championship? The best team in Europe is relegated.
It'd be pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It'd be a pretty incredible sequel to last year.
I mean, I don't want to rule it out because it seems entirely possible that can
happen. And I think we've learned from last year, you can't rule stuff out with them.
No.
If they look to be possibly doing something, don't just assume they're just not going to do it because they are
totally capable.
Leicester.
Yeah.
Hull, Bournemouth, you guessed it, 1-1 draw.
West Brom. Same difference.
Same boring, terrible affair that I'm sure 10 people watched.
Mm.
I'm sure NBC was like, "Do we even want to spend the money to stream this?
Simulcast?
I don't think anyone's
just taking the world
watch
feed.
This.
It's not even anything that we have to worry about."
Stoke 1, Watford 0. So Stoke continues to not be terrible.
Yeah, not quite sexy. They got this victory courtesy of a Charlie Adams shove before a header, just shoved off his defender and then nodded it home. And the post-match interview had the gall to even admit, "Yeah, I shoved the guy." Awesome. Absolutely awesome.
You kind of figured he would admit to that.
Yeah. Charlie Adam territory.
Southampton 1, Everton 0. It was Southampton getting revenge on their former manager, Ron Koeman.
Leave us, will you?
Young Josh Sims got man of the match. And apparently, according to reports, this was a guy that in a U20 match last year, Koeman was said to be not impressed by him.
Well, how about that? Perhaps didn't see quite as enough in him as he should have.
Yeah.
Two, Everton. Meltdown?
Yeah, they're struggling.
Really not looking good right now.
No. No, really not.
Koeman, shaky ground? Too early for that, I think.
I think they think enough of him.
At this time, anyway.
Yeah.
Perceptions can change quickly.
And then you Manchester United. Hey, Zlatan scored. Still didn't win.
Nope, doesn't matter.
They get the draw to West Ham.
They're now, I think, off to their worst start in Premier League history. Worst start 13 games.
Premier League history.
I like how the measuring stick is always
what David Moyes
David Moyes did. And Mourinho is off to a worse start officially than David Moyes at this point.
And LVG.
And LVG, for that matter, yes. So, problem in United land still. Everyone enjoys it.
And Jose got sent off.
Again?
Yeah.
It continues to be a pattern for him. I think he's approaching £500,000 in total fines from the Premier League, by the way. $500,000 in fines. Guy's got a knack.
We actually got a question on this from my buddy. Dave asked, at the end of the season, does Jose have more wins at home or sending offs?
Ooh.
Because he's already got, three? He's been sent off three times.
And how many wins does he have at home?
Not many.
Yeah.
And one better game.
No. I think they're, winless in their last six at Old Trafford, which I think is also a record. United are shattering all the records that they don't want to shatter the last few years. They're only the bad ones. I don't think they've broken a single good one recently.
I'll take the sending offs. I think I'll have more of those.
No.
This is not the guy that managed Chelsea. This man is imploding.
19 matches. You have to think they're going to give him one whole season, right? Unless they're, in the bottom half.
Sure. I'm saying he's going to get sent off more times than they're going to win at home.
In 19 matches, how many times do you think he's actually going to get sent off?
10.
That's a lot. That's a lot. That's a bold prediction.
He's already got three.
I look forward to revisiting this on a later podcast.
10. I'm going to take it. I'm going to take that.
All right. Jeremy's taking the over. I'm clearly taking the under. We'll see how this all plays out.
Let's go stateside. But before we do.
All right. The first half of the pod is done. But we need to take a quick break to thank, again, our friends from Tavor.com.
Tavor is the craft beer pioneer everyone's talking about. This innovative service bridges the gap between craft beer fans and cutting-edge independent breweries from all around the country.
You can sign up for free and gain daily access to an extensive, highly curated selection of fresh craft beer that you can't find anywhere else and have it delivered right to your door. Join for free by visiting Tavor.com and entering your email address. Let the exciting world of craft beer into your life.
And for our listeners, we have a deal for you. Enter promo code WRONGSIDE10. You'll get $10 off your first order of $25 or more. Hey, MLS playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
We know one of the teams that's going to be in the MLS Cup.
Yeah, that's right. Let's start before that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's roll back all the way to the semifinals because we had to wait a long time.
Those were on right after we pod.
Yeah, that's right. Tuesday. Both of them were on Tuesday. The 22nd. We had Montreal and Toronto taking on the first match, and then Seattle and Colorado playing the second, all stacked in one evening. Let's be honest, the first two legs in both matches were absolutely fantastic.
Oh,
both games were extremely enjoyable.
Let's start north of the border.
Yep, that's definitely the place to start.
Montreal 3, Toronto 2. But this was at one point in time a 3-0 lead for Montreal.
Yeah, that's right. Montreal jumped out to a 2-0 lead within 15 minutes. Dominic Oduro
boom,
with a goal and an assist in the opening 15 minutes. And then I think they grabbed another one like 10 minutes after halftime. And we all kind of think, oh, wow, well, Montreal have this thing sealed
this
up.
This is over.
This is pretty much over.
Toronto has a mountain to climb.
Oh, no. Toronto are coming back. They're breaking paradigms this offseason. They're going to continue doing that in this game. They pull two back midway through the second half, both coming from U.S. men's national team stars Josie Altidore and Michael Bradley. Two really critical away goals as well. So finished 3-2, but it's a massive result. Those two away goals means all that Toronto has to do is win 1-0 at home, and they're done.
Score a goal, pack it in.
Yeah. So really, really interesting tie that lies ahead. But that is the actual semifinal second leg that we still have to play.
Thank you, Grey Cup.
Yeah, screwing everything up. No one cares about Canadian football.
I actually watched it. It was fantastic.
I actually watched the Grey Cup too.
The head ref sounded like he was one of the characters on the Red Green Show. It was awesome.
Yeah, okay. That's a good point. That is an excellent point.
And it was actually a really good game.
Yeah, but it is crazy that they're playing that game 4 days later than what the actual second leg semifinal that went down. But let's talk about the first leg of the Western Conference Final between Seattle and Montreal. Seattle and Colorado. In this one, while not quite as dramatic as the first game, still proved to be fairly dramatic. But what went down in the West was still fairly entertaining.
Yeah, and somewhat maybe surprising that in a year where they had to get rid of their big-name manager, Seattle has finally made it to the promised land.
Yeah.
They're going to be in an MLS Cup.
It is kind of crazy that it took firing Siggy Schmidt midway through the season as a panic move just to literally salvage playoff hopes, and suddenly Seattle...
And their big money star has a heart problem and can't play anymore.
Oh, like, I don't know. Lodeiro was playing. Oh, you're talking about Clint Dempsey.
I was talking about the guy that raps.
Okay. Well, he's got plenty of time to do rapping
and
right
fishing.
Now. Yeah, and all that kind of stuff. But no, it was a match where Colorado actually jumped out to an early lead themselves. I think it came through former Premier League player Kevin Doyle early on in the match himself.
What was it, Wolves?
Yeah.
Wolverhampton?
Yeah, it was Wolves. I think he played for a couple other teams,
yeah,
too.
I definitely remember
Wolves. Wolves the ones that sticks out in my mind. And then Jordan Morris, the man of the moment in MLS, 6 minutes after that, equalizes. And then who I just mentioned a minute ago, Lodeiro. Drew an equalizer from the penalty spot in the second half. Gives them a nice 2-1 lead to take back to Colorado.
Yeah, so they go to Colorado, and Colorado, obviously, they're the ones that has to score the goal.
Yeah, that's right.
They need to score a goal.
Yep, and they had that all-important away goal.
Right, but they didn't want to make more work for themselves.
No, they certainly didn't.
But they did. Jordan Morris scores...
peach of a goal too. Nice little,
really nice one.
Death little chip
he
right over the top
of
the Russian keeper. Yeah, that's true. But fantastic goal. Two really decisive goals in the series as well for Morris. New men's national team coach Bruce Arena in the building to watch that happen.
Oh, yeah?
Not that he really needed more info on Jordan Morris, but
he was wanting to learn about this Jermaine Jones guy.
Yeah, maybe he's someone that we could put some use to. But Morris did chip that ball over Zach McMath, who was in goal for Colorado as Tim Howard was out for the rest of the season after we saw him get injured in the U.S. national team match here in Mexico. So
what was an amazing turnaround season for Colorado falls short of its I don't know about its expectations, but you figure the best team in the West possibly is your pick to make it to the Cup. They do not. As for Seattle, obviously big for them to finally get there. Did you see that literally, well, I guess apparently in post-match interviews and then on Twitter, that was a tweet that was later deleted, Jermaine Jones said, hey, I'm free agent.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Can't wait to see where I'm going to play
literally
next.
Literally declaring that, like the day your team is eliminated from the playoffs.
Well, like hours.
Awesome.
Hours after that match ended.
Hashtag professionalism.
That's how he rolls.
Yeah, that's definitely how he rolls. So if Toronto end up winning and turning their current deficit around in the second leg back in Toronto, that would mean they would host MLS Cup. If not, Montreal would travel to Seattle for MLS Cup. Would be really interesting to see them host that. Obviously, they would fill that joint up, and they would make it quite the experience. I'm sure MLS is probably hoping for that as well. But I think we're all kind of pulling. We'd like to see Toronto and that excellent Giovinco have an opportunity to play in the final two. And if that ends up being the case, then they'll be the ones who host.
At the site of the 104th Grey Cup is where they'll be hosting it. BMO Field.
Double prestigious events all at one time. Woo! Oh, yeah. Feel the excitement. And we are just 12 days away from MLS Cup final right now.
Can't wait.
Yeah. It's right around the corner.
12 days and we don't know who one of the participants is going to be.
Feel the excitement. Feel the
excited?
I am excited about it. MLS Cup is always really...
going to be on Fox this year.
First time ever?
Network television again. Mm-hmm. Back, I think ESPN/ABC put it on network TV like once or twice back in the day.
Yeah, probably like 1998.
What was that? New England, Houston, I think was the last one they did.
Man, that's been a long time.
Yeah, but it was a while ago.
Yeah. That brings us to the next domestic matter on the discussion tonight. We wanted to get a little bit into all this news about what's going on in NASL at the moment. Obviously, it's a league in turmoil.
Yeah, we've hit on it as stuff has been rolling in through the past couple months. Mm-hmm. Things have not been going well. Obviously, the big thing that happened about a month ago, you had... two of their franchises, mm-hmm. Ottawa and Tampa, making the move over to your neighborhood in USL.
That's right.
Obviously, there's the dumpster fire that is Rive OKC, mm-hmm. and just the continual just saga that has been.
Yeah, the question marks that continue to hang over a club like Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, things going maybe potentially awry in Jacksonville as well. You just look around and you see all this chaos. Meanwhile, the league's been kind of saying, like, no, things are fine. What's that?
This is fine.
The meme that everyone posts.
With the dog drinking the coffee.
Drinking the coffee and the fire. Yeah, so that's exactly what's happening right now. I think someone did something similar to that for San Francisco Deltas, who are obviously getting ready to jump into NASL feet first next season.
What happens there?
Who knows?
Like, if the league doesn't happen... Or if they merge or whatever, happens.
Then the Cosmos will just play a home and away series for their own independent championship.
Against San Francisco?
Yeah. Though they may end up having trouble paying for that. Which, speaking of the matter, there is some news on the Cosmos front. But we don't want to necessarily just talk about this on our own. Neither one of us is intimately familiar with this league. So we thought we'd bring in a little bit of help to give us a little bit of extra points on conversation. All right, joining us now on the podcast is Nipun Chopra. He comes to us from Indianapolis, where he is a member of the United and Liverpool Fans podcast. Nipun, good to have you on tonight.
DJ and Jeremy, thanks for having me on. I listen to your podcast, and it's a pleasure to join you guys tonight from Indianapolis.
Excellent. So we're bringing you on tonight to talk a bit, of course, about everything that's going on in the world of NASL, particularly with the news relating to the New York Cosmos today. But before we get into that, we definitely want to make sure that we take a bit of time for our podcast listeners to get to know you a little bit better. Tell us a little bit about how you got into the game and why you're still involved with it today.
Sure. So I grew up in India, and growing up in India, I was exposed to cricket for the most part, a sport that most of your listeners will have no idea what that is, understandably so, though. Watch cricket, and then I think it was my sophomore year or freshman year of high school, I happened to be watching cricket and happened to switch channels and watch Ryan Giggs launch a pass from the mid-yard, that halfway line that almost went into David Seaman's goal. Manchester United won 6-1 that day against Arsenal. And I was born into the massive madness that is Manchester United, and basically been obsessed with soccer ever since. And it's a big part of my life.
So you got into that kind of by chance, which a lot of our guests have often said in the past. So tell us a bit about how you came to be. Obviously, you follow Indy 11. You're living here in Indianapolis now. Tell us a bit about why you're involved with the game and how you kind of landed where you are today.
Sure. So I started the ULF, as you mentioned, my other podcast. I'm just about to finish my PhD I started the podcast on a whim to kind of talk about Man United, also keep myself sane when experiments weren't doing so well in labs. So I started doing this podcast with a friend. It kind of luckily has done pretty well. But along the way, we start hearing rumors about this this team in this league that I'd never heard about called the NASL coming to Indianapolis. And I kind of jumped on the bandwagon pretty early. I'm a season ticket holder of Indy 11. I did for a short time, I did a podcast called Bloody Shambles. And recently did a podcast called Indy 11 Championship Pod. I run the Twitter account for the Indy 11 East End, which is definitely the best end, no matter what the Brickyard guys tell you. And, you know, I'm heavily invested both emotionally as well as, I guess, physically in some ways with Indy 11. And it's become a big part of my life, almost as big of a part as Manchester United is.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that a domestic side could ever get that close to our hearts after all those years of following strictly abroad. So, yeah, you know, we're obviously big fans of what's been going on over in Indy, where we both had the pleasure of watching a game with Peter Wiltz. Two years ago, we came over when we were both working with the Cincinnati Saints, now the Dayton Dynamo. So love everything that's going on over there, and always good to get a nice Indy 11 supporter and someone who's well attached to the community over there on the pod. So let's get into a bit of the meat and potatoes while you're on today. And a lot of that has to do with the news that broke today, kind of about what's going on with the New York Cosmos, the kind of marquee club in the North American Soccer League.
Yeah, it was an Empire of Soccer article that kind of shed the light on, I think, something that, you know, we had all been following some of the problems that other teams and NASL had been having recently, obviously Fort Lauderdale, Rio, OKC. But now to see the, in many ways, like the flagship club of NASL in some real disarray. What were your takeaways from? I mean, I guess you kind of were on the in on some of this stuff.
Yeah, you nailed it. I mean, this is how it played out for me. On Thursday, I was at my friend's place in Lexington, Kentucky, and I got a message that suggested that that the Cosmos. Well, I can tell the story now because it's all out there. But at the time, I was told that three Cosmos players were being shipped around to a specific USL club. And at the time, I assumed at first, because I'd heard of Cosmos, you know, being stable and all this stuff from all my other sources. And as it turned out, what I didn't know at the time. So when I sent out my tweets on Thursday, all I said was, to me, New York Cosmos, from my source, it seems New York Cosmos is doubting the viability of NASL and doubting their future in NASL. What Empire Soccer uncovered is way beyond what I had heard on Thursday, which is that that Cosmos were in all kinds of financial doldrums. Nobody had heard of this, and this is an amazing thing that I still don't understand. Nobody, no source, no one was talking about the fact that Cosmos themselves were having financial difficulties. And Empire Soccer, to their massive credit, uncovered that part of the puzzle and wrote that story, released that story this morning, kind of giving an idea and also confirming in their article that players were being shopped around. And then maybe no more than an hour after that, I was talking to a few of my people. I feel weird calling them sources. They're human beings. They're just people I talk to
They live in the
game.
Shadows, right?
Yeah.
You just kind of talk to them. They show up in like a trench coat and a big hat.
Right, exactly. Exactly. They're like the storks that send babies, basically. Mm-hmm. except it's information about soccer. So I was talking to one of the people I talk to who love the game as much as I do, and they informed me that they had received word from someone they trusted that that Cosmos was as good as done in 2 weeks, and that you know, and everything else that I tweeted from that point on. So I think what blew me away was the fact that, first of all, Cosmos, the franchise club, as you guys suggested, was in financial doldrums for so long and none of us knew about it. And secondly, Cosmos being underwater is really bad for the league. And I think one question needs to be asked is if we – so I'm a champ. I love NASL. I wish it – I still hope that it survives, but there has to be some level of clarity of what is going on with NASL. Because we talk about, you know, I mean, we being NASL supporters pretend like NASL is this amazing league, which is clear-cut and better than MLS or ULS, whatever argument some NASL propagandists want to paint out there. The truth is it's a very closed-off league. It's a very secretive league, and we have no idea what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, coming out today and no one really having any sort of idea what was going on is just...
I mean, that front office staff was furloughed, that,
right, you know, exactly.
People were not getting paid.
Right.
That's insane, yeah.
So I think that all kind of caught us a lot off guard, and especially when you're hearing kind of different talk from Bill Peterson, the commissioner of NASL, saying, you know, hey, the league is healthy. We've got some good expansion candidates coming in. We've been having these great conversations. And suddenly you hear about the one club that you didn't think would have any sort of financial issues is suddenly in turmoil, is very kind of damning in a lot of respects. And certainly, you know, we haven't heard anything official on that front, but we are starting to hear kind of corroborating stories. And what you've heard along with the Empire Soccer story seems like it fits pretty nicely together.
Yeah, it does. I mean, first of all, I have to say that what Empire Soccer guys did was million times what I did. I literally just, you know, talked to some people and they told me stuff that they knew and I put it on Twitter. I can't give those guys enough credit because they actually found out something that no one knew about, which is the financial stuff, you know, so I give them so much credit. But yeah, I mean, everything that I've heard since then and other people who have sources within the game have heard corroborates Empire Soccer and corroborates tweets that I sent out. So honestly, it looks pretty bleak. Like, I want to believe that I'm wrong, but the truth of the matter is it seems, again, me, I haven't done anything. I want to believe my sources are wrong, but the truth of the matter is no one has contradicted it yet, as you guys suggested.
Yeah. So one of the other things that kind of came out today and that you spoke a bit about on Twitter as well is kind of how maybe the future of the NASL itself is potentially up in the air. And we've heard a bit about the recent conversations between Sunil Gulati and USL and NASL. And I didn't know if you wanted to elaborate a little bit on what you think might be happening there and what exactly you've heard on your end.
So what I've heard is that Gulati is being asked to broker a deal between USL and NASL. And this was a request made by Bill Peterson to USSF. Unfortunately, because of the way Bill Peterson is, look, I've never talked to Bill Peterson. I'm sure he's a nice guy. I'm just talking about his dealings with NASL and other clubs. With Bill's past with the USL, MLS, and NASL, to be honest, he's burned a lot of bridges. So I don't know how amenable Gulati will be. I think it's in Gulati's interest in terms of the fact that a viable NASL means another viable league. So I think that's a good thing. But of course, there are vested interests. Of course, as you guys know, you guys are almost certainly at this point going to be an MLS expansion team at some point. So there's a lot of different moving parts here. And I think NASL, for a lot of its own faults, is caught in the middle of that, because I cannot see a way by which USL will be amenable to a merger with NASL on NASL's terms, because honestly, USL holds all the cards at this point.
Yeah.
So my guess is that USL will want some clubs. I think Indy 11 falls in that category. I know for sure that USL has wanted Indy 11 for a long time and some other clubs that I maybe shouldn't mention. So the point of the matter is some clubs will be okay, but I don't see it as being as simple as all the clubs in NASL all of a sudden end up in USL. I don't think that will happen. I think there will be a subset of the clubs. And by the way, from what I hear, New Cosmos is not interested in moving to USL.
That kind of goes with how they've been kind of operating this whole time. I mean, they felt that they could operate without MLS and be more profitable that way. And that all kind of falls in line. So we were recording this on Monday night. Apparently Tuesday, there is supposed to be a league conference call, potentially to talk about the future of NASL.
Right.
What are you hearing on that?
Honestly, I haven't heard much on that meeting at all. So first of all, credit to Bob Williams. He's the one that said that it's an actual meeting in Atlanta. The last time they said they were going to have a meeting, it wasn't a meeting at all. This was about a month ago. You know, Jacksonville president and chairman of the NASL told me as much on Twitter. So this is an actual meeting in person, from what I understand, thanks to Bob Williams, who tweeted this out earlier today. But I haven't heard much about it. And I'll tell you right now, like, from the entire time that I started digging on this thing about 3 months ago, my NASL sources have been wanting, have been open with me, have talked to me, have returned my calls, returned my texts. Today's the only day where they've been entirely incommunicado. Now, as a scientist, that's, it doesn't just mean I have to think of the alternate explanation. The obvious explanation is that they're worried about NASL going down and they have bigger problems to deal with than some silly guy who wants their input. But the other way I look at it is that they, you know, that I might have burned some bridges there too. So I guess there are two possible explanations. One being that the league is really, really in trouble and they have bigger fish to fry. And the other being that they just don't want to talk to me because I've burned all my bridges because of maybe they feel that I've thrown NASL under the bus. So I guess we'll find out. I guess we'll find out tomorrow and Wednesday what's going on in that meeting.
Or potentially they lost their phone. So,
or just still a long food coma from Thursday.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's possible as well. So,
I mean, we you know, I mentioned it. You know, Cosmos are really like the brand of NASL, and you talk about the, you know, the heritage brands of NASL. Fort Lauderdale is in financial disarray. They need ownership. Tampa Bay is in the USL. I mean, I think that's what is really crushing to NASL right now is the brands that they've really built this league on are really, I mean, having an absolute just terrible time right now and are not going in the direction they need to be going in.
You're absolutely right. I have no counterpoint to that, to be honest.
What about OKC? Obviously, that's just been a hot mess since about day one. What are you hearing on that?
Yeah, so I talked to someone who works at OKC this afternoon or this evening, and he or she told me that essentially what has happened is that Rayo is almost – so I asked him – well, it's a him. Let's go with at least I can say it's a guy. So I asked him, hey, what are the chances of Rayo being in Oklahoma City next year? And first he said 0%. And then he said, well, I'll upgrade that to 1% because miracles can happen.
Well,
so at the very least, so at the most, in his opinion, and he's very close to the club, 1% chance that Rayo will stay in Oklahoma City. But he did tell me that Rayo are looking for a home, the Rayo group that is, for the club outside of OKC, somewhere in the States. They think it's a financially viable model, and unless Rayo Vallecano gets relegated again, which I don't think they will, they're doing okay in Liga B. So unless that happens, I think they will have Rayo will be a club. We just don't know where. It won't be MLS because they don't have, you know, that much money to spend. I think they're looking at USL, but again, we don't know where it will be. What we do know almost certainty, with 99% certainty, is that it will not be in Oklahoma City next year.
Well, but we also know that it's the end of November. I mean, how could you, if you even move, how do you get that up and running? You'd probably have to take a year
off,
right?
So you can, we can forget about Rayo for next year.
Okay.
I mean, so even if NASL survives, Rayo OKC will not be an active club next year. I think that was clear even before today's conversation.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, Nipun, we do appreciate you coming in and offering your insight into NASL. Definitely an area where we could probably serve ourselves better to get a little bit more acquainted with. But I appreciate your expertise and your fandom. If people want to get a hold of you and follow you, how should they do that? Where should they reach out to you on social media?
Sure, yeah. You can find me at Nipun Chopra 7. That's Nipun Chopra. It's pretty self-explanatory. And the number 7. So Nipun Chopra 7. Love to talk to anyone, and I appreciate both of you having me on the pod. It was fun talking to you.
Excellent. Well,
excellent, man. We'll have to do it again.
Love that.
All right. Excellent. Well, thanks a lot, Nipun. We appreciate it, man. And if we can ever help you out in any way, definitely let us know.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you soon. Thanks again.
Yep.
Well, good stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, so staff furloughed at Cosmos. Paychecks are late. Oh, by the way, they don't have a venue for 2017.
No, literally none.
And they're and on top and for that reason, well, according to them, for that reason, they actually don't have a sales department that is currently soliciting for 2017 season tickets.
So you would assume those are the furloughed employees.
Well, that might be the case.
Yeah. Let's be clear here. Neither one of us want this to happen.
No.
This is one of the marquee, not just in the NASL, one of the marquee names in all of American football.
You know, I was listening to Jason Davis on XM, and I think it was either him or he had Dave Martinez, the guy who wrote the Empire Soccer article on. It was one of those, him or Dave, that said it, that the Cosmo brand is more widely known throughout the world than most MLS franchises.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, no, make no mistake about it. You know, Pele was a massive ambassador for the game, and having him involved with the previous incarnation of that club, and at times with this current incarnation of the club, spread the name far and wide. And there are people – look, there were few American teams that I could have ever named before MLS back when I was a kid. Cosmos were one of them. And there's a reason for that. So by no means are we wanting anything bad to happen to the NASL, and we certainly would love to see the league succeed. But there's certainly a lot of danger at the moment, and there are going to be a lot of eyes watching this over the next few months to see whether or not they're actually going to be kicking a ball around in 2017 in that league.
We want soccer to succeed, but let's be honest. We want soccer to succeed when people are growing and doing it the right way.
Yeah, sustainability is the key, right?
And if things, you know, I mean, you look at some of the stuff in OKC, like, we would want there to be good soccer in OKC.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're an ownership group that is being insane and you have your minority owner stealing away half your field in the middle of the night.
Yep.
I would say that's not the best face for soccer, and that maybe you're not the best people we need around to make soccer grow.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, do we want people to fail? No. But do we want good soccer to be represented and to float to the top? Yes.
Yeah. I mean, stewardship is really what it is, right?
Yep.
And pointing people in the right direction. And I think NASL had this kind of grand idea, and I think a lot of people can buy into it, and I can certainly see the pluses and positives about their system. But things have certainly not gone to plan there, and there's going to need to be a lot of soul searching, and I think there's going to need to be a lot of plot twists to come undone here in the next few months before we actually know what kind of league setup we're going to have over the next year or two.
Winners and wankers?
Before we do that.
Uh-oh. No.
We have one.
Uh-oh.
We have one.
Really?
Yeah. It's not a big one this week.
Well, I wouldn't.
But it was one pointed in my general direction, or at least one of the accounts directions that I work on. So obviously, as a person who runs the social media for a professional soccer team, you have to have pretty thick skin. You can't take a lot of the things that people say to heart. Obviously, people are going to get upset about things that you do, aren't going to like some of the things you do or your club are doing. It's not you they're yelling at. It's the club. It's the entity, the idea.
Sometimes they're just going to send you Harambe memes.
We're not calling out Harambe memes tonight.
Oh, okay.
Although, yes, that does happen.
There's no conspiracy there. Like. They're just people that still find that hilarious.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. But the person that I need to kind of call out today, or just the idea that I need to call out, is something that obviously we talked about the MLS, the Cincy thing that happened, that's going to be happening tomorrow. By the time you listen to this, it'll be something that has already happened most likely. But we've got all this going on, so as a club, we're posting a lot about that on social. And one of the things that I put up was an excuse note that someone could give to their teacher or their employer to basically say, "Dear so-and-so, please allow so-and-so to come to the MLS event. It'll be fantastic. It'll be great for the city, blah, 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 blah." The things that you see people post all the time. All of the promotion and relegation people were out today, as they typically are, meandering about, getting in on conversations that they weren't involved with to begin with. And they all decided to say that that tweet in particular was a sign of corruption.
You corrupt bastard, you.
Corruption.
Well,
a tweet with an obviously comical excuse note.
Quacks like a duck. Looks like a duck.
It must be a goose.
Must be corruption.
Yeah. Corruption. It was a joke, guys. It was a joke.
Twitter's all about being for real. I don't know if you knew that.
I don't know if you didn't.
Only facts are allowed on Twitter.
If you see anywhere where it says, like, attachment to this tweet, look closer because you can actually attach money. And that's me paying off our fan base.
Oh, there you go.
Directly from a tweet. So thanks for your American conspiracy theories, all you actual jackholes. Now we can get into those winners.
Winners and wankers?
Yeah.
Was that your wanker?
It was not. How about your winner to start off?
My winner, well, in life you got to make choices, and sometimes you put soccer above things that probably for most of us would be a little more important.
Oh,
like,
boy.
You know, a job.
Okay.
Douglas Ross is a Tory justice spokesman to some guy. Who serves in Scotland's opposition party. He is currently in hot water because he missed work because he had a gig. Reffing.
Ooh.
Not just reffing anything. He was an assistant referee for the Real Madrid Sporting Lisbon Champions League match.
Oh, dear.
But because he was not at work, there are now currently calls for his boss, the Tory justice, to fire him.
Oh, wow.
So he had to pick. Skip a day of work. Go work a Champions League match with Real Madrid.
I don't know if you want to go and get whistled at for, I'm sure it was probably a handsome reward for a few hours
of
work.
Well, if you're a ref, you're okay with that situation.
Talk about needing thicker skin.
You're okay with the arrangement.
Yeah, that's probably true. Is it worth losing your full-time job over? Well, I can't tell you how much people actually get paid in the Champions League, so who knows?
I would say a princely sum.
Probably was pretty worth it. Pretty worth it. Judging on all the sponsorships. And
your
all
winner?
That. Yeah. My winner, I'm going to give it to Arizona United. Phoenix Rising FC, who rebranded today the USL club.
Hashtag Rising.
Hashtag Rising. It's going all right for them. But no, I really dig the rebrand there. Like this city-centric.
This is the Diplo team, right?
Yeah, team Diplo. I think Pete Wentz might be a part owner as well from Fall Out Boy.
Wouldn't talk about that one as much. Focus on Diplo.
I don't know. I mean, that Fall Out Boy is just popular, right? Anywho.
With who?
But I really dig the more city-centric approach rather than focusing on the entire state for the USL. Make it a little bit more about the city that you're playing in, deeper connection there. Also dig the kind of play on word there with the Phoenix Rising idea.
Out of the ashes?
Yeah, out of the ashes of something old, coming something new. Like that. So job well done on the rebrand, guys, and hope it works out well for them. Coupled with that, too, not just the rebrand, is the announcement that they're actually going to be building a soccer-specific stadium closer to downtown Phoenix. Which is great news for a team that has been playing kind of all over the place. Peoria, Arizona for a little while. They've talked about Scottsdale as well. But now they're actually going to be playing in Phoenix. And I think that's nothing but good news for a team that's not necessarily lived up to expectations so far. How about your wanker?
My wanker, you know, we just talked about it. Anytime a lower division side has a bad situation, mm-hmm. vis-a-vis what we now learn about the Cosmos and the, you know, we don't know what's happening here. We don't know what the future holds, but the potential demise of the Cosmos. Did you see how many people on Twitter didn't blame bad management, didn't blame overspending, didn't blame just how NASL operates, didn't blame any of those things for the problems? They blamed MLS.
Oh, yeah.
For the Cosmos.
Yeah.
Problems.
Like, the Cosmos didn't make a business decision on their own to not go into that league.
Right.
That was MLS's fault.
That was MLS's fault that they are now struggling.
Makes sense.
Totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's logic. Because MLS, what they do is they don't want soccer to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Because that will somehow make them more money.
Yeah.
Even though most clubs operate in the red, they want soccer to not succeed. That'll make them not operate in the red.
I mean, just
the logic of people. Well, it's just so maddeningly stupid. Like, what are you talking about?
Look, we've talked a lot about promotion and relegation here and the whole open market idea, and I think there's a lot of merit to all of those things. But the reality is, in the situation that U.S. soccer currently finds itself in, there's a setup. There's a set of rules that are currently being followed. And whether or not you agree with them or not, those rules are there to help the people that join into that succeed. And ultimately, that helps soccer succeed here. And everyone seems to think that those aren't there to help soccer succeed here, and that they've not had anything to do with its success here, which is foolish in a lot of rights. But look, the setup is what it is right now, and you can fight for something different.
Sure.
But when you make the decision to go against the establishment, the way that things are set up, the way that most things are running, and it doesn't go to plan, you have to take a little bit of ownership in potentially choosing a route that wasn't the most successful.
Right. I mean, the NASL and more directly the New York Cosmos has operated in a way where they outright and openly want to do things opposite of how MLS is operating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We talked about it in the interview. Cosmos has spurned any opportunities to be in MLS because they think that they're more viable outside of it. Okay. Go do your thing then. I mean, you can't, if you go do your thing, you can't then look at that and go, well, it's these guys' fault. No, it's your fault. You made your choice. That's mm-hmm. what happened.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't want it to happen. We wanted you to succeed. We wanted the most recognizable brand in American soccer ever to be successful. But you screwed up.
Yeah. And look, it's not anything that we're trying to, like, blame the Cosmos. We're not trying to blame their fans. We're not trying to jerk any of those type of people around. It's just a reality of the situation. You know, take ownership for the decisions that you make. And even though maybe the deck was stacked against the way that you chose to do it, sometimes it's not always about choosing the option that isn't the conformity way. Like, it's just, it's not going to always work out in that fashion. So,
but the whole notion that MLS is the reason why lower leagues fail, according to you, no. According to you, especially you talk about the pro-rel people, according to your own logic, because your own logic says we don't need MLS, well, then why would MLS exist and cause you to fail?
Yeah.
If you don't need it. Because you're operating under the sense that you don't need it.
So if you don't need it and it causes you to fail, then did you need it?
Did you need it?
Creates an interesting question. So I like that selection. It's an intriguing selection that will likely draw some ire from some people who usually draw some ire from.
Yay,
yeah.
Ire.
Yay. We've never been afraid of that here.
It's pronounced Irie.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That's correct. I knew that. Yeah, I didn't. Thank you for the correction. I'm going to take a slightly less controversial group of people to criticize.
Sure.
I'm going to not stir the pot as much as you have. And pile on some people who have already gotten a ton of heat. And those are the grounds crew at Montreal's Olympic Stadium.
Ooh, they whiffed.
Yeah, they whiffed a little bit. In that first leg of the Eastern Conference final for Major League Soccer's playoffs, the grounds crew at Montreal's Olympic Stadium painted the penalty boxes a hair too small. In fact, so small that they needed to delay the game to fix it. The boxes were pretty skinny.
I mean, to be fair, I'm glad they fixed it because, mm-hmm. I mean, what if they just played with them? And well, then the whole match could be contested then.
Yeah, that's true. Then they might actually have to replay a game.
So, like, there was a foul that happened here, which if had they been painted correctly, that would have been inside the box. Been a penalty,
which would have been a disaster, by the way. The league was right to delay the game until they got it fixed. Yeah. As it turns out, the grounds crew were the same grounds crew who normally tend to the field for Montreal at their home stadium of Stade Saputo, which is an outdoor stadium.
Were they not at their home stadium?
They were not. They were playing at Olympic Stadium this time.
Oh, yeah.
Olympic Stadium holds significantly more. Yeah, it's still sitting there empty most of the time. They use it for a bunch of different stuff.
They've kept it up this whole time.
Well, whenever they've had, whenever Montreal played big Champions League games, they've played them there. When Beckham came to town, when he was playing with LA, they'd play him there. Whenever they have big matches, they go to Olympic Stadium. And, you know, credit to them, they sold out Olympic Stadium for this match. 66,000 people showed up for the game. That's nothing but good for soccer in North America. But because this crew is normally working at Stade Saputo, their normal stadium, which has a full-width normal area, they had a system for how they actually painted the lines down. That outdoor field is a fair bit wider than the field that they actually play on in Olympic Stadium. Mm. And they measure from the sidelines, not the actual goal box, when measuring at Stade Saputo. And they did the same thing at a more narrow field. So that's how the actual issue happened. But I almost want to give the wanker, too, to the referees, who only figured this out 20 minutes before the match. Why was that? It was actually because they were late to the game. Now, I don't know what the reason was. Maybe they hit traffic that was totally out of their control. I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, because even in the NPSL, you know, an hour before the match, I see those refs out there walking the lines and checking stuff.
I know in the USL, it's more than an hour before the match that they actually have to watch it by regulation. So things did not go according to plan there, seriously, on a couple different levels, but definitely some wankerage there deserved by a couple different parties.
Yeah, that'll do it.
I think that brings us to the end.
I did, you know, when they were repainting it and they painted it wrong, did you remember that that Snickers commercial? When the guy was painting the Chiefs end zone and he wrote chefs.
Yeah, that was...
That's what ran through my head when they were sitting there repainting that.
Yeah, how often do you actually see a line painting?
Like, I just imagined one of the guys biting on a Snickers and going, great coogly moogly.
that is exactly what it was. So that brings us to the end of this week's podcast. As always, we appreciate you listening. If you want to get involved in the podcast, definitely send your questions, comments, topic suggestions to contact@wrongsofthepond.com. If you want to do the email thing, if you'd rather do it on Twitter, you can get it @Jeremy Lance, or you can get @DJ via @wrongsideofpond. We'll talk about what you want to talk about. Thanks again to our guest, Nipun, for joining us to talk all things NASL. And until next week. Sell out with me, oh yeah. Sell out with me tonight. The record company's only giving me lots of money and everything's gonna be
before we leave, of course, we again need to give a shout out to our friends at Tabor.
Tabor is the craft beer pioneer everyone's talking about. This innovative service helps independent craft breweries connect with thirsty craft beer fans from all across the country. Every day, you'll learn about fresh, dynamic beers that you can't find anywhere else.
You'll discover the beer's story, history, all sorts of entertaining and trivia-based tidbits that will turn you into a beer connoisseur in no time. Join Tabor for free by visiting tabor.com and entering your email address. When your monthly shipment of beers arrive right at your doorstep, you'll turn your home into the best tap bar around.
So make sure you visit Tabor, T-A-V-O-U-R.com, and make sure to enter a special promo code just for Wrong Side of the Pond listeners, Wrong Side 10. It'll net you $10 off your first order of $25 or more.